If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shoutcast Radio. I'm your host and secret keeper, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello, and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Willkommen to episode 99, in which we discuss updates at Shell Cottage, because that's where we are right now. Both of us.
We're here.
I'm here.
We have updates.
The HBO TV series, news about the HBO TV series, and Universal Studios' new Ministry of Magic park. Bill, how are you doing?
It's just in the script.
What a great...
It's catchy.
It's very catchy.
Gets you right in there. What are the other questions? There's other questions in there too.
Are you doing okay, sweetie?
Oh no, I'm not sure if I am.
Did you miss me?
Yes,
I missed you.
We all missed you, everyone, all of our listeners, and everyone. We all missed you.
Like, who else is here?
Well, me and the mice that are over there in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Because I heard
and
them.
And the stink bugs. I know they missed me.
Yeah, the stink bugs.
They're back big time.
They tried to kiss you.
It's September.
As soon as you got back, they were like.
I got attacked from above.
They're like, oh, you like our smell? Ooh. And they just dove right at your face. It was crazy. Welcome back, friends. This is our ease back into podcasting. Been gone for 3 weeks. So big little vacation. We were hinting at it. Thought we were going to record more. It was crazy, I think, every day over there for
every
you
day.
In Deutschland.
I was a busy bee.
Yeah, you had lots going on. So
yeah, lots of friends, family. I had to take care of some stuff. You know, when you move to a different country, there's some things that are still lingering, even after years. Everyone who's done that before knows what I'm talking about.
It's wild.
Sometimes it can get more difficult than you want it to be, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It feels good getting things like that done.
Can we tell people what you were doing, like with the apartment? Just some stuff. So essentially we had this adorable apartment over there. And
it's just a studio, very small.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was great. It was a great spot. It was awesome. And mm-hmm. you had to, I want to say this because mm-hmm. I think Americans are sort of like going to be blown away by what you're about to.
All the things I had to do. Yeah.
If I were to walk out of any apartment here in America, most of them, I'm just like the kitchen, like the fridge, the microwave, the stove, the cabinets, all stays.
Right. Because it was in there in the first place when you moved in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When you move into an apartment in Germany, at least from you and your friends and what I've heard there in Berlin, is that like you have to put all that stuff in. Your own kitchen set, your own cabinets, your own like everything.
So some places will give you a sink and the burner, like the stove.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then everything around it is there's nothing. Unless you move into an apartment where there's an agreement that the tenant before you, they leave their kitchen there. And then you're like, oh, cool. I'm going to use that kitchen.
Right. Or if you have time, you can sell it to them. You yourself, right? You can kind of do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is just crazy. So you have to like paint it all up. I mean, you have to do all these different things. Like for us, it's really not a big deal unless you were like tearing up the walls and stuff like that. I mean, if it's pretty chill, you're not really, I mean, people leave their places a wreck.
Yeah.
Just a wreck. And you get maybe half the deposit back or three quarters or sometimes all of it because it's sort of like, whatever. I mean, it's the same, as long as it's the same condition that you walked in, you're good.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, this thing is pretty crazy that you have to do all of that. So you were like selling stuff for free on eBay. Selling it for free. Giving it away. You were selling a few things.
A few things, some money, yes.
Which was good.
But for some big things, and you know, when you're running out of time, you just want to get rid of them. And you're just happy if someone comes and picks them up for free instead of you paying a company to come and pick your stuff up to get rid of it. But somebody else actually could still use it. So
yeah,
it was actually a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of texting, you know, random people who are picking up your stuff, and you hope sometimes they just last minute say, oh, sorry, can't make it.
Yeah.
And so that was a fun experience to do that with a whole apartment. And I didn't take a lot of stuff with me, I got to say. Only, you know, like sentimental photos and books and
whatnot. Brought those back, the books, mm-hmm. Harry Potter books, right?
I have, because they're pretty heavy. I have the first four books. Unfortunately, they discontinued the series, I think, of the illustrated versions in German.
Yeah.
So I brought the first two with me, Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets, and then left the other two for some time when we go again to take with us. Yeah.
Okay. Cool beans.
And they're going to be of good use, hopefully.
Yeah. I think they will be. just crazy. So again, it was also the start of the school year for me, and I even messaged a few of our people just on Instagram and stuff, and I was sort of like, have I got any ideas, you know, in terms of what I could talk about just on my own and just get something going. And I was just like, I don't know, I was emotional, and it was hard.
I know,
it's the first time we've been away from each other for 3+ years essentially.
You know.
So
true, because in between we always traveled together to Germany and back. Yeah.
Right.
I know.
So it was crazy. I did have a suggestion to sort of talk about the beginning of the school year from Kayla. So shout out to Kayla.
Yeah.
And she mentioned like, you know, maybe the beginning of the school year, or even maybe something that would be like some stories from like how you start as a teacher and also maybe what the professors are kind of doing. So maybe we will make that a kind of little bonus topic here at the end as we get through things.
Happy back to Hogwarts month.
Right. Exactly. Right.
September.
So yeah. Or maybe we'll do it for Patreon. We'll just kind of see how long this episode takes. Yeah. And that would be a fun one. I just thought of that because we're both teachers, and I am back to the beginning of the school year. It is the craziest time. And so you being gone, I'm also doing stuff over on Uptalk and Tolkien with my friend Lane.
Yeah.
We're covering the Rings of Power right now, which if anybody's interested in that and you want to go check it out, please do, because it's a whole different side of Ez. I have been ranting and raving about a show because I've made a lot of allusions to like Harry Potter and what would happen if they messed up the TV series. And if they just said all of a sudden like, hey, I don't know, let's go ahead and make this new Harry Potter show, but let's put, God, I don't even know who it would be. Let's just pretend like Peter Pettigrew is going to school with Harry and his friends.
Yeah.
Or like, why?
Merlin is all of a sudden there.
Merlin's here, and like, he and Dumbledore are colleagues.
Or one of the founders, or like the timeline doesn't match up.
It's all over the place. Yeah. So it had me kind of spinning in terms of like, my it's just a different side of us over there on that show. But I've been doing that. And then Yoda Stew is still going strong. I have my buddy Matt on for a few controversial episodes. It was really good. We're talking about like the Acolyte. We're talking about different things in terms of Star Wars and the fandom, where it's going, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so they were brewing some stew and they put a lot of spice in there. A
lot of spice. It was strong. The stew is strong. And so, yeah, he is he posts a lot of TikToks over on Super Games Bros. So go check that out. They're cool. They're blowing up and it's pretty awesome. Having a good time. So we'll continue all of that. But I mean, I was busy with that. I was busy with the school year. You were busy over in Germany doing your thing. We only really talked at night. Uh-huh. Would have been like 5 o'clock for me. So I'm right getting home from school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we would talk for 2 hours or something, or an hour sometimes.
Yeah.
Half an hour. You'd fall asleep.
I was dead tired after a long day of just painting the apartment, getting rid of stuff, cleaning the apartment.
For our
throwing stuff out.
Deutsch listeners, there's like... Ich bin müde. Ich bin müde. Ah, so tired. Yeah. Sehr müde.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No. Yeah. But it was a great time. It was a good thing to go back to see family, to see friends, to do that important thing, to meet. Oh my gosh! Yes, I got to meet Rieke in person. We had a lovely, lovely time at one of my favorite restaurants. I just kind of suggested it, and she's like, sure, it's an Asian restaurant, and you know it too, because I've probably taken everyone I know there, because they're really fast, they're yummy, they have tons of like vegetarian, vegan options, but also your normal fish and meat, and I just love it. And it also reminds me of my time in Vietnam, but the first time I went, because they play this old music. I don't even know if they're singing Vietnamese. Probably not, but it's like the 50s or
it sounds old.
Earlier. Yeah. And they have these old pictures, black and white.
Right.
And I hope, I'm just assuming, because it's run by Vietnamese people, that they're old family pictures, because you can see them like older families all over the place. And it's something they put in there. It smells good and it's just got good vibes.
I
was very, very happy to meet Rieke there. Yeah. And she's awesome. She's amazing. It was so fun to talk to her and finally, get to meet her in person.
For sure. I can tell you, so like our podcast is still relatively young. We're as far as podcasting goes, I mean, we're only 2 years old, 2.5, 3 years old, something like that. I'm not even sure. At max, we'd be 3 years old because of our relationship. But I think about my time on Up Talk and Tolkien and getting to know people like Rieke, right? Okay. That come into the show early on. And then they're like these early names in our show. And
you keep hearing them over and over again.
Yeah. And then you meet those people and they're like, wow, they're really, awesome people. And then it's cool to meet some of our friends, right?
Yes.
Who we podcast with, or who we, talk about Potter with. And it's just, it's cool. It's this growing little fun community. And it's just a cool place to, nerd out and just enjoy our time together. Yeah. So I'm really glad you got to do that. And that's really neat and a lot of fun. So if you're out there listening in the future, we may be going to do some like conventions. We keep talking about going out to conventions and possibly letting you guys know when we're there. I think we just missed someone at the Kent. I want to say Potterfest. It is the Wizardly World of Kent.
Yeah.
Joan. Who we just missed there, was there, I think, for a few hours, sent us an owl and was kind of talking about a few different things. But that was a great time. So we had that right before kind of leading into a period of summer that was like called like the dog days of summer, where it was hot, hot, hot. It was absolutely crazy. We posted a few pieces of content before Lottie left there, but she left late August and then just got back last week. So anyway, but
not even a week ago. Yeah.
Right. But we had, Joan said she was there at, Kent. I think we met, some other, folks there too, who are potential listeners and stuff. Shout out to, I think we already gave him a shout out, but, Dumbledad.
Oh, I know.
who does listen. And so shout out to him. I don't know if we gave one or not, but it's fun meeting people. Like you brought up Rieke. It's just fun, to meet people at different,
to meet Joan. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, we missed you. I didn't know that you were there. And
right.
But that's okay.
And so I think she was only there for an hour or two or something like that. Right. So
she must be just living close to Kent, or I don't know.
And also going there to see Swish, because Swish
probably,
and Flick is
they're
huge.
They're like the main host of the whole
thing. Running their show. So Anyway, all right. So any other updates? I'm just thinking here. It's been a crazy start to the year. I call it the year because it's like my school year, right? The Hogwarts year, right? As it is. So there's been a few bits and pieces of information. We were looking at booking a trip to Universal Studios at some point, and all of a sudden Lottie's like, wait a second.
We should wait for next year.
We should hold off. Yeah. So that's good. We'll talk about that. And yeah, just give you guys a few updates. Anything else though? I'm just thinking this is a big updater. Now we're
just that it's September. I'm in my less coffee, more hot chocolate and tea era.
Yes, you are.
And I'm just enjoying it.
Yes, you are. I actually got a chance to, so I've never taken Lottie to a football game, like a big football game. So I went to,
that's a big update. Yeah.
That's a big update.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday, I took you to the Ohio State football game and wanted her to kind of see that. It's like, for me, fall was always playing football or watching football and doing things like that, going out to festivals and stuff. So we're really trying to fill up our fall with those types of events where it's like, let's go see things we haven't done before yet here in America. And I'm like, well, let's just kind of tackle maybe our local state here and figure out some things that we haven't, that you haven't experienced yet. Yep. And then from there, we'll kind of start to branch out, go to different conventions, go to different places in the United States. And we're keeping our, we've been doing a lot of international traveling.
True. Yeah. Sometimes it's nice to actually explore your local state or country. Yeah. I have not seen as much from Germany as I've seen from the rest of the world, right?
Yeah. Right. You've, like, well, I mean,
I've traveled to many different continents, but not too many different states or cities in Germany, I gotta say.
Interesting. Interesting.
So one day
you're just
we'll
a Berlin girl.
Yeah.
You're just a city girl.
We'll have to do a little Germany tour.
Yeah.
You and me.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, let's switch gears here, though. Are you ready to we'll dive into a few things here? It was pretty kind of a shorter episode, but again, we're just getting back into this. We have next week's episode already, I think, penciled out. Or no, am I wrong about that?
No, yeah, no, you're right. We have, and it's our anniversary episode, basically. Anniversary, no, that's what something that comes back, right?
Oh, yeah, so that would be our, no, it's our 100th episode.
100th episode.
Yeah.
So do you still call it an anniversary? No,
not really.
It's more like,
I don't even remember when the podcast
if you're married
started.
For 100 years.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know. I'd have to go back and look and see. Yeah. It was probably, was it April? I don't even know. Remember when we started? Remember when we debated about not starting?
Yes, we did.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, a little bit of advice.
Sometimes you just got to start and...
Remember how Lottie had those segments? Those segments where she would give you guys just a little bit of like words of wisdom kind of things. Whenever they pop up...
I'm so wise.
You're so wise. When it pops up, I just like to mention it again. Guys, if you're planning on doing something, I just had someone message me just the other day. I was over doing my Up Talkin' Tolkien Lord of the Rings podcast, and we had some listeners over there who are brand new, reached out, liked the audio quality, liked what I was doing with the Hobbit Hotline, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. You've got cameras here, you've got a phone set up here, you've got people calling in and all this kind of stuff. But someone, two people reached out to me and they were like, I want to start something, or one was like, I want to bring something back in terms of audio production and creating and doing different things. And so they reached out to me and said, how do you do it? What are the materials? And can you help me?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, I, you know, not that I have time to help everybody do that, just as a disclaimer, I don't. But I appreciate people reaching out and going for it. You know what I mean? And asking, because, hey, maybe I'm sitting there at the, I was in the parking lot and Kroger. Sometimes that Kroger shopping trip that Lottie takes might take an hour. So maybe I do have a chance to reply right then and there, which I did.
Well, plus sometimes you can point them in the right direction, right?
Yes,
you can
resources.
Point them to resource material that you also consumed that helped you get set up. And instead of them searching in the internet for hours, they will just get the resource right from you.
Right, just to refine it. And then also, like, if the other one was sort of a technical question, a hiccup that somebody had. But I was like, you know, it just in reference to us starting our podcast, it was sort of like, if you want to do something, you're thinking about writing a book, doing something, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, Yoda teaches us that like our best teacher is failure.
Yeah.
So failure seems to be what holds people back. And I'm always just like, go for it, you know, go right on ahead. Who cares? And I even think when you're doing workouts and diets, or you're you're setting a goal for yourself and you're like, man, I don't know, that's kind of lofty.
Yeah.
Go for it. That's the moment where you say, yes, let's go do it. Because again, we are going to fail, and that's okay. You just keep trying, keep doing your thing over and over and over. Keep working on yourself, lean into what's tough, and don't be afraid. Fear not.
So funny. I wonder if some of you listeners feel the same right now, but I feel like you're directly talking to me because also, you know, what I'm, like,
yes,
you know, what I want to do and what yep. my dreams and aspirations are.
Yeah.
So it's funny, but you can,
yeah,
it's very good advice. Actually, one of the most important, because otherwise we'll just forget about it and never know, right? You never know if it could have worked or not.
Yeah, they call it sort of this like paralysis or this right. this fear of just overanalyzing everything and thinking through it.
Over-researching everything, over-planning everything.
Yes. Which again, it is important to have those phases, but again, you would want to block out 2 weeks, you know, one month, whatever you think it might be that you need to plan and get ready and set your life up for success, because that is important. Some people they don't realize how their environments affect their habits and what you need to clear and pave a path for your habits to set up time and reserve energy for you to follow through on those habits.
Right.
Make them a priority either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day or whenever, and kind of stick to that. And again, you might only get like a couple weeks in and say, well, I failed. All right, cool, fine.
Yeah.
The moment you realize that, pick back up and go again, right? And go again and go again. So, like far too often I've seen people who, even in podcasting land, like you're trying to hit every week, you know, week in, week out, produce content, make things happen, hit your video quota, right? And all that kind of stuff. But it's life. We're all human. We're just trying to get through. We're trying to do the best that we can. And we have different seasons of life and stuff, right? Where things come and go. And so it's really cool. It's really interesting. And it's just a journey. And I always say this, I've said this over on Up Talk and Tolkien. I've said it on many podcasting projects that I've worked on. It is so fascinating to me that you, whether you hear this in the future or you've already, well, it would be the future, wouldn't it? It would be when you're listening to this, whether it's like relatively recent to the release date, right. Or years from now. It is, then I go into like, what was I going to say? You know, like I just derailed myself there. What was I going to say? Do you know? I have no idea.
Something about the future.
Something about the future. God, it was good. That was driving to the point. Ezra, why do you do that? Why do you derail yourself all the time? It's embarrassing.
Well, I can chime in for a second. You think about it. One of the best things I do is, or again, it's not, you know, the best thing you could do is start your thing that you want to do. But another good thing that helps me, like you said, sometimes you'll hit your goal and sometimes you won't. Life gets in the way. But the important thing is that you always get back on track. And one thing that helps me is watch a channel or channels like, I have this channel that I watch, Julian Doodles.
Oh, yes.
She's an artist and she sells her original fan-made art at conventions. She travels there. She also has an online shop. So many cool things she does. Mm-hmm. And she is a person who's just very, very real in front of the camera.
Yeah.
What she does is she takes you along either to conventions or just hang out with her in her studio. She does her thing. She talks. She has like talking heads and she also has like moments where you just watch her do things. Right. And it's a kind of cool mixture to have it just in the background and hear her talk. And when she talks about things, sometimes, you know, now I have this whole backlog of videos that I can watch. And I don't really care if she posts, if she missed a month of posting.
Yeah.
Because I have all these videos that I watch in a row. But then she will talk about like, guys, I'm so sorry, you know, this and that happened. I tried, but didn't you know, didn't work. And still, even though she had these moments where she didn't hit her goal or she's still struggling with her path, she kept going. And she kept kept going the whole time. And she changed things up, she pivoted, she even after a long break, came back. That's why her channel is successful now, and that's why it's still there. And that's why her shop's thriving. So
no, that's that actually helped me think of what I was going to say, because I was like, well, in the editing process, you're going to remember it, and then you're going to be like, wow, there you go. But what it was essentially that we all share the present, and so kind of what you're talking about with Julian Doodles in terms of like, we all are on a journey. We're like this life is crazy. So whether you're listening, years later from now, like we took 3 weeks off, right? That's actually kind of what I was driving to, which was the idea that we took some time off and we're back. We're going to keep right on going. And it won't matter to people, you know, years in the future or whatever. But it's those of you that are kind of going along week by week. It's also like this journey where we're all sharing the present. It's kind of ironic that I was referencing people far in the future who don't necessarily, you know, they're still out there right now. Right. But they'll listen to the project later on or whatever. Almost derailed myself again there for a second time. Wow, double derailment in one episode. But yeah, I don't know. I just like to get people inspired, and I just want to try to inspire myself. And I just like to more and more Latinos have been speaking like positive affirmations and been just like getting pumped up and getting ready for a new season of life, and really just I don't know. I love that you met Rika. I love that we're able to talk to our listeners, and we're able to kind of go to conventions, that we have excitement building around Harry Potter again. Right. And it's all kind of, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I do want, I mean, I'm intentional about like wanting to be a fun, cozy cottage podcast where we talk, to mostly our audience is like adults or parents or people who are going to, you know, like our age who have went through Potter, but it's also designed in such a way that it could be, it's definitely accessible or whatever and available and appropriate for kids.
Right.
That's what we do. We're teachers, and I want kids to come in and grow into the fandom and love it too. So that's why I'm kind of excited for the TV show. So it's going to be different though, to see all these different actors and different people portraying characters that we like are in love with. Like the films for Harry Potter are just, I mean, they,
but I have confidence that they will do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I want to have confidence in them.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. All right.
It's hard to imagine now, but I think we'll be happy.
For sure. I think so too.
To have a new show.
Now, with that, here are the updates from the Harry Potter TV series. And we know this was kind of like, I guess we had this idea that was going to be 2026. I don't know if we knew that right away or if we were just guessing that, but it seems to be kind of more so confirmed that we're going to be getting this series in 2026.
Yeah.
People are speculating that would be late 2026, I'm guessing. So
maybe September 1st.
Oh, dang. That would be wild if they did that. That would honestly be crazy.
Yeah.
Have to kind of look at like what else is, since HBO is producing it, like when do they have sort of House of the Dragon going? When are they releasing some of their other big things?
They probably plan it out so not two things come out at the same time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, for them, you think about their platform. I could be wrong, but I think I was talking to Matt from Super Games Bros, and he was saying that this might just be like an HBO only thing, exclusively released there, maybe not HBO Max. You know how we have the app and we can go on there and kind of watch everything. I don't remember exactly how this is going to break down. We'll see how it all shakes out. But the idea is that HBO wants to kind of keep this high caliber production. Like they want to make sure that if you are watching a show, you know it's an HBO show, and not all of the shows that are on HBO Max are produced by them or their company, if that makes sense, right? So when you look at how high quality we had for like Game of Thrones and for House of the Dragon and stuff like that, that's the level of quality that they want to bring to a Harry Potter series. And so, just making sure that like they kind of keep that, I don't know, it seems kind of like, I don't know what the word is, but they're really wanting to make sure that is well branded. If that makes sense, you know, and to throw a bunch of stuff on HBO Max that, or to mix it in there with HBO Max stuff, people might not realize that it's this extra special thing. If that makes sense, people still have like HBO subscriptions, and they still like, there's a really cool image of an apartment complex where it's 9 o'clock and they're filming the apartment complex, the whole building, and all you can see inside people's apartments and stuff. And all of a sudden you see the HBO logo come on at 9 o'clock, and you see probably of the 300 people in that building, 150 people have HBO on.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So half the apartment are like pulling up this HBO, and it's this thing that comes on at 9 o'clock and boom, here you go. So they talked about maybe separating that from HBO Max and making it even more exclusive, kind of just to kind of build that HBO brand. Not sure if that's going to happen or not. I'm not even sure if I quite understood exactly Matt's breakdown of that.
Yeah, because isn't HBO Max now just called Max?
Oh, is it? Yeah, you're right.
Or they're going to? I don't know. I felt like there was a change that they made.
I think you're right. So yes, they made it Max. Yeah. And so it in some way they want to kind of distinguish their stuff from all the other things that are being posted on there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Just to dip down through here. This is kind of this is an article, by the way. I'll give a shout out here. Who do we got? Tom Tapp is the author of this article, and it just breaks down everything that we know that's been sort of released in about the fandom, about the TV series here. So, we know that Francesca Gardner is basically going to be the showrunner for this show. And again, that's an interesting point because she was involved in Succession, right? And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, yeah, she, yeah. Yes, Mark Mylan, who worked with Gardner on Succession, will direct multiple episodes. So she's going to bring on Mark Mylan Mylod. Yeah, I'm probably saying it wrong. But regardless, like this is the idea is they want to keep, they're bringing in HBO people to make right. a really good, high quality HBO product.
Right.
Which I think is other like, I don't know, when I look at like Amazon or I look at Disney Plus and what is the brand and what is the caliber of production that they're bringing each and every, you know, season or show,
mm-hmm.
it's not the same. Yeah. So like when you look at, and we cover this on Yoda Stew, but when you look at Andor mm-hmm. versus like The Acolyte that just came out, two yeah. different production styles and two yeah. different levels of quality, if that makes yeah. sense. And so they're really trying to preserve that, I guess yeah. is the idea. So, all right. So what is the Harry Potter TV series about? This is a new HBO Max original series that will deep dive into each of the iconic books. And yeah, this is something they actually talked about. This was 2022, I believe, when this came out, where they said, we have not really tapped into this IP. We've not really tapped into Harry Potter in the last decade. They kind of ignored mm-hmm. the fact that we had the Fantastic Beasts or whatever. but yeah, it's right here, actually. So they said that, they said it's going to run for 10 years. So we know that this is going to run for 10,
yeah.
10 consecutive years, and we'll cover each one of the books in one season, right? For those who say that Fantastic Beasts could be leveraged to provide 10 seasons over 10 years, Warner Brothers said specifically during the announcement that Fantastic Beasts will not be a part of this series. So again, they're kind mm-hmm. of ignoring it completely, which is sad to us because I feel like you're going to have a movie verse and then a TV verse.
Yeah.
And I really hope they go back one day and take some of the fantastic beats or plot points and do make that a TV series.
Yeah.
So 10 years of Harry Potter and then give me five more years of Fantastic Beasts.
Even in that verse, they can't ignore the backstory, right? Because mm-mm. it plays right into the Harry Potter series.
Yes.
Later on. Nagini yeah. is a part of it. Voldemort is a part of it. Dumbledore is a part of it.
Right.
Newt wrote the books. They're all part of the Harry Potter world. So.
Yep. Yep.
I don't think they will hopefully not completely ignore it.
Right. And I've said for a long time, I really think that we should do a full sort of, if this is a full reboot and we're going to redo this series, you should be thinking, you know, you've got your first 10 years with your series, your seven books. Yeah. But then after that, you should be thinking about a Marauder series. You should be thinking about a Fantastic Beasts series, whether it's just a Dumbledore thing, standalone, whatever, right. Grindelwald, that final battle, show us that. Like, they've wanted to do that for some time,
yeah.
started with Fantastic Beasts, and it just didn't work. So that's okay. They still need to bring it back and create something that it's going to be really high caliber.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So who's creating the series? We mentioned Francesca Gardner there, along with Mark Mylan, Mylod, if I get it right there, was signed up as writers and directors there. So we're good. Let's move on down here. What else they got? Big old ads. That's what we got on here for sure. more of the people that are going to be involved in this. So they're breaking down. This has a lot more details, and I'm not super into this, nor do I know a lot of these names. People who are on Netflix original series and people who have worked on other shows and stuff. I don't know any of these names. And okay. so I'm not even going to pretend like I do or try to comment on them. No disrespect to them. I just don't know enough and mm-hmm. I haven't researched enough of that. We'll come back in a different episode. As we get closer, we'll probably find out more about directors and who's more specifically going to be involved in this. A lot of this is rumor too. So right. these people will start off as writers or directors and being signed on the project. And then next thing you know, they're not involved. So, we've heard that a group of writers were commissioned by Max to create pitches for a series reflecting on their take on the IP. J.K. Rowling is understood to be involved in this pitching process. The trio will be able to hone in on their pitches for the next couple of months with a decision on who gets the job expected in June. So, they're still rolling around. I think a lot of these projects, Lane and I were talking about the Rings of Power show and how it has just a room of writers. Just tons right. of different writers that they bring in. And so they're kind of like,
yeah, who write episodes, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You get your showrunner, mm-hmm. Francesca, who's going to be doing that, but then is bringing on directors and then writers and is going to kind of assemble a whole team to attack.
I always
this,
wonder so. Why they do that. Why there's not one writer for everything? Is that just too much?
Well, or that there are lead writers, mm-hmm. one lead writer or mm-hmm. with a team underneath that person who's kind of going through everything. I don't know. Mm. I think
or directors. There's different directors. I mean, I guess for movies right. it makes sense because they're always like so far apart. But even for each individual episode, sometimes they have a different director, which is interesting.
It is.
Because they want to create a certain mood, I guess, or certain effect that this director has more experience in than the other one. But
Sometimes you get about like, for example, in Rings of Power, they've sort of narrowed down to one or two directors. Mm-hmm. They started off with a lot and then they narrowed down. I don't know if it's just to see who's doing better and like which one is like more highly rated or whatever. But I think that also depends on the plot and the story and where you're at. Right. Like, I feel like the episode two of season one would not be, well, no, it would be pretty intriguing because Harry would go to like Diagon Alley or whatever. But like episode one, like the Dursleys and stuff, like, I don't know, depending on what we're actually talking about in the season, it might not be a hit. It might not be the most interesting part of the Philosopher's Stone. Yeah. So that might affect the ratings.
But we talked about it earlier today that the cool thing about the show now is it's versus the movies kind of went along with the releases of the books, right? One book was released, so they try to catch up with the next movie. True. Even though that didn't really work out all the time, but they definitely, most of the movies they had to produce without knowing the end of the story.
Right.
So now they know everything and they can give us very different perspectives in different parts of the story, which is really cool.
True. And that, with that idea in mind, we do know where it's headed, so you can foreshadow stuff a lot better in the first season, like you're saying, right? And another thing J.K. Rowling said is that there's going to be new scenes, new written stuff that is expanded upon, notes that she had, versions of her books that were detailed out. And that's a series that everyone knows really well. The Fantastic Beasts stuff was like all brand new. It was her writing the whole new kind of thing, right? Playing screenwriter and stuff. This is going to be stuff that is like the back of her hand. Like everyone sort of knows what this is. And we've heard rumors about, like, she's done interviews and podcasts and different things where she's talked about extended scenes, or she's talked about more of the motivations behind certain characters or why they did what they, you know.
That's, I think the actors and actresses will be able to just play the characters in a different way because now they know so much more about them and their development in the end and their thoughts, like, a, you know, I mean, not that it changes much about, for example, the Dursleys you said, but maybe Petunia can play her part a little differently now that we know more about the character and more about Harry, more about what happened to Petunia when she was a child, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
hopefully that depth will be picked up in the show.
Yeah, and another thing, like, think of Dobby, for example, as that was, as it was coming out, we didn't know if Dobby was going to return and play a big role at the end.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of Deathly Hallows, like, so you maybe leave out Dobby and Winky
right
at which moments where you probably shouldn't have right, and so you sort of
one of them
and it's a movie you're trying to cut that out because you want to save time and you're not quite sure. I don't know, like, Dobby's there enough that if we need him, we've referenced him a few movies ago, you should remember who he is and that'll be interesting, but he's there a lot more in the series along the way. Okay, so we already mentioned, when will it be released? It's going to be aired in 2026. Some people were saying possibly 2027, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do move it back.
If they have to push it back,
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But I think, you know, a December kind of Christmas vibe, you know, where
that'd be awesome. Either fall or Christmas would be my ideal
People debate that the Philosopher's Stone, they kind of feel like it's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
Right? Because, you know.
I feel like this
Happy Christmas, Harry.
It's such a Christmas movie, and then for some reason I feel like Prisoner of Azkaban is for me a fall movie because I always think about the season changing and they show the Whomping Willow, right? Even though you have the other seasons in there, but for some reason the big pumpkins.
Yeah, it just feels that way.
It just feels very
right. I mean, fall. Even though, like, in Philosopher's Stone, we have an epic Halloween
scene. Right, we have Halloween, too. Yeah, we have Christmas in Azkaban, in Prisoner of Azkaban.
They probably have in Azkaban. I don't know. Could you imagine the Dementors, like, rolling around with little hats on and stuff? Sorry. Oh, my gosh. And they're like, they roll into here. Yeah, Happy Christmas, sucker. You know, like.
That's like.
They build them up so they can, like, feed off they can feed off their energy, right? So maybe they do deliver birthday cake. And it's got like candles and the Dementors go around and blow out the candle and then they, you know, squash all their hopes. I don't know. Anyway, let's see here, though. Zaslav, who is the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, said that we're not shy. And this is something we mentioned before. We're not shy about the excitement around Harry Potter. I was in London a few weeks ago with Cassie and Channing, chairperson of Warner Brothers Television, and we spent some real time with J.K. Rowling and her team. Mm-hmm. Both sides are just thrilled to be reigniting this franchise. Our conversations were great.
That's good.
So, yes, that is awesome, right? Okay, and let's see, other things about their earnings call. We're going to skip all of that. This is interesting. So they did know, I mean, the pandemic sort of affected a lot of people, and I know there's some like J.K. Rowling and her brand and stuff on some controversy around her has sort of hit her wallet a little bit in terms of like money and things. So they mentioned that J.K. Rowling, whose production company posted a 74% drop in profits in 2022, that rebounded somewhat with the stage version of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which proved to be a post-pandemic crowd pleaser, right? That is good. The other thing that's been boding well, so these are things that are kind of like showing, I guess, Warner Brothers that like Harry Potter is still the ticket. It's still it's still gold and it's still something we should pursue.
Right.
So you have the Cursed Child, which was which has been successful. People really like that. And then you have something that you and I both love a lot, which is Hogwarts Legacy.
Yes.
It is it was the best-selling video game of 2023. There was literally a campaign to stop it. And I kept saying the whole time, there are hundreds of people working on this video game and they love Harry Potter just as much as everybody else. And they wanted to bring this to wanted to take us back there in a way that was special and magical. Yeah. And they did. And it delivered in every way possible. I love it. And I think the people who were creating and designing on that just did a wonderful job.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It has all the feels. The music is great. Mm-hmm. We're driving in the car. We're listening to the Hogwarts Legacy
soundtrack.
Yeah.
And also, when we're not playing it ourselves, we have videos. People post on YouTube videos where they just go through, like walk through Hogwarts or Hogsmeade with a certain feel. Like you can type in early morning Hogwarts or Hogwarts grounds walk. Right. And they will just take you on a walk and you hear the music and you hear the sounds. And it's just a whole experience on its own without even having to play it.
Yeah, which is awesome. I feel like it is really that video game more than Cursed Child has honestly reignited the fandom.
Yeah,
because there were tons of just content creators talking about it. There's been reels, TikToks, people are just back. You know, like you said, the ambience videos are all there. Mm-hmm. It's everything. There's all these other different kind of components around it. I believe it has multiple sort of seasons or releases or maybe some DLC coming in the future. So we'll kind of keep monitoring that. But again, that was a big sort of check for them to see, like, how is the Harry Potter brand? Like, how is it doing? Is it still something that's robust? And one of the things that Zaslav said is that we haven't done anything with Harry Potter specifically for more than a decade.
It's true.
And went on to kind of say, he called it the type of big ticket IP, one of the big differentiators of this company. So that says to me, it's not just a 10-year project 10 years is still a long time. It's a full decade of them working and creating Harry Potter stuff. But why stop there? Right. I mean, I'm sorry, I might be getting a little greedy or whatever, but I mean, I just want more and more and more. Yeah. I feel like you can totally set this up to be something that is just building and building and building.
Right.
And they're doing it already. And the reason I think it might happen is because they're already doing it with Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So they had Game of Thrones and they went back and they did House of the Dragon. It's successful. And they're slowly working through their story. They're going to do the Dunkin' Egg series. They have other series sort of planned. They had a Jon Snow series as well. And they're going to build out that universe. Yeah. Marvel is who we kind of have to thank for this. They built out the Marvel, universe, right? And Star Wars started to do that with the Mandoverse. Yeah. They were building that, era out a little bit. And then they kind of went crazy and are bouncing too far over the place. But I think it's nice. People like to know that you have a story and a vision and that you have a way forward. So in the TV verse, I feel like if they told us this and we get into season 1, 2, or 3 mm-hmm. and we start hearing rumors that there's going to be a Marauders thing and they've cast them and these are the people who we're also seeing, I don't know.
Well, my hope is I don't think they're going to do that. But I hope they do something different in terms of, we know actually where the story will go, right? There's no surprise at the end. Hopefully they're not going to go and change, which I don't think because J.K. Rowling is a part of it, the end or anything because they want that surprise element.
Oh, yeah, no.
I hope not. But because you can go read it, you can go watch the old movies, we all know where this is going. So why not take, let's say you are in season 3, Prisoner of Azkaban, and the Marauders are super important here, right? Why not then also do a spinoff on the side, of course you have to have different actors, so maybe bring in the same for a time jumps, right, back and forth.
Yeah.
But why not do a spinoff during that time when it's so prevalent in the season 3?
Oh, I got
That'd be so fun if you have something like that.
That would be cool to plan it ahead like that and to go ahead and do your spinoffs.
Yeah.
At the same time. Wow.
Because Star Wars sometimes brings out, shows Absolutely. And then there's other shows in between and they do connect.
They do connect. Yes. I get what you're saying.
Andor is not finished, but
right.
It's
connecting to the Bad Batch. It's connecting to Obi-Wan Kenobi later. It's connecting to its own movie, Rogue One.
Yeah.
So you're bouncing backwards and forwards and you're bouncing out and expanding the universe or whatever.
It doesn't sound like they're going to do that, but I think it would be really cool.
Yeah. We're just hoping and rooting.
Yeah.
For that, because one way or another, I would love to see something new, something that build upon an epic series. Mm-hmm. Do that well, and then you're gifted with all this extra content that we could get. That'd be great. So, which actors are starring in the series? Are any of the original Harry Potter stars returning? Big question. Some of them have said that they're interested, right? Yeah. So there will be new actors playing the series' main characters, but no one has been cast yet. Although we did just see, this is not in this article, but there is, let me see, I'll read this to you. First, they were keeping this internal. Mm-hmm. So as for that, Harry, Ron, and Hermione and who they're casting, right? Children from the UK and Ireland. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers is very likely looking to cast young actors given that they're proceeding through Rowling's books in order. The tricky part is the first two books where the kids are on the younger end around 11 or 12. Yeah. Right. So we are trying to be very close to the vest. We haven't gone out to agencies. We have our own internal process where we've been thinking about people, but we have not wanted to go out into the world. But now that the news is out there, we'll start going out to the business. I love how some of them talk. It's just funny. So they are definitely going out and they're going to open it up. Some of these auditions, that was the excitement, right? Around all of the people who auditioned early when the series came out, everyone thought they could be in Harry Potter and they all go and they ran through the tons of kids in lines and some stood out and it's just cool.
I know that was a whole thing. And probably lots of people in Britain were kids that age.
Yeah.
Remember it. A lot of people probably just went with their friends. Right.
Right.
Cause it was open auditions.
Just to say that you went is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just that you went and read lines for it or something.
Yeah.
That,
and maybe really you were in the same batch as one of the main actors who made it, right? And you
true. See them. True. That would be that's really cool. Yeah. And again, so people who did that as kids and then now grow up and maybe they have kids that they want to send in there too, that would be neat. Maybe they've developed as actors themselves and they come back in and play professors. You never know. Yeah. Right. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. People, though, here's an interesting one. So we're talking about actors that might want to come back to this. Gary Oldman the other day said that he would be interested in playing Albus Dumbledore, which
That's
is wild,
so funny.
Right? He was like, I feel like I'm old enough now to play him, and he would love to come back in the series and be Dumbledore. Yeah. He and he feels like he'd be different. He'd obviously have a beard, prosthetics, yeah. and different things. He would have some makeup, and he would look the part for sure. And he's a yeah. great actor and beloved. And I think we all would love to see him. I would love to see him back in some capacity. So as Dumbledore, heck yeah! Like we need yeah. it. We need a solid Dumbledore.
Yes,
right.
We need someone for 10 years. You do
for 10 I mean, years. Yeah.
Yes, you don't need him necessarily for the last season as much, but you do need him for the last scene for sure. Like
yeah.
one of the
oh,
last
yeah.
scenes.
Yeah.
So
this would be really cool. And while you're, I think you're looking him up a little right now, mm-hmm. but he also said that he didn't feel like there was enough Sirius Black in the series.
Yeah.
And that is, again, like you pointed out, we were doing, we were kind of building that, movie verse out right. as the books were coming right. out. And so no one was really sure exactly. I mean, obviously they knew, like the directors and the producers and stuff understood, and there was information given to the actors and the different creatives behind the movies. But now we all know. It's yeah. all out there. Everything is done, and there's no big surprise. We're not writing it. We're not writing it at the same time that we're like shooting it and all that kind of stuff. So this is really cool. I feel like he's right that there should have been more Sirius Black, and there now will be, probably because of the TV series aspect, right? Being able to kind of do yeah. this in 8 or 10 episodes or something, you know. Yeah. So we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, so he was someone who definitely mentioned that he was interested. Let's see. As for any of the film's franchise stars, so like Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, or Rupert Grint, we're never going to say never on that. I think some of them have said, so here's a quote, I guess, from Daniel Radcliffe. My understanding is that they're trying to very much get a fresh start, and yeah, I'm sure whoever is making them will want to make their own mark on it and probably not have to figure out how to get old Harry to yeah. cameo in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think they're not going to want him to come back and play like James Potter.
Right.
Something.
No, I think you could do too much of that. Maybe have one or two characters
Tom
come
Felton.
Back as, yeah.
As everyone's wanting
older
Tom.
Versions,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And don't overdo it.
If
give
Daniel,
them the chance to build their own.
Yeah, to build their own things. Yeah. Like, if they're not going to show a lot of James and they want to just yeah. do a few moments of like an older Harry and they wanted to do Daniel Radcliffe, I'm also fine with that. But if they're going to show a lot more of James,
they're gonna show more.
yeah, then they might not want to do that just because yeah. it is going to be a little confusing. Now,
well, plus, remember, hopefully this time they get it right with the age of like
right.
someone who's at least a little younger. Nothing against like love the Lily and James in the movie, they're great, but later we learned, at least I didn't know it when I was little, but they were supposed to be 21
right.
the scenes that we see of them, right? That's when they
right
they get killed by Voldemort. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So we'll see how they do that. And how really how yeah. much of the of involvement we're going to have there. If they yeah. do cast younger actors, they could yeah. then, as you said, in a spinoff, play a role with the Marauders.
Right.
So it'd be nice if you kind of had that pre-planned out and you mm-hmm. were thinking with that in mind. But mm-hmm. that's a lot. That's a big ask. And that's a lot of money and a lot of production. And there's a lot
hey,
that goes
on. It's HBO.
I know. Let's go. We're paying for the subscription. We're
one of the biggest franchises in the world.
We'll send you our money. All right. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
yeah, okay. Yeah. Other folks, I haven't heard anything from the other. I'm not sure if Emma has said anything or Rupert, but we know Tom has said. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Come back. Yeah.
I don't think they would either. But we know Tom has said that he'd be down to play like a Lucius Malfoy, which yeah. I think would be really cool. And I think people would really like that. And if you didn't have a lot of that and you just had a few people who, and again, if they have people like that in mind and they're, yeah. you know, people have really speculated, like Tom Felton has stayed pretty close to the Harry Potter fandom mm-hmm. and to
He'd
the
be
creators
a little young
and to
Lucius, but
they could age him up a little.
Yeah.
They could. Well, would he be? Would he be? Yeah. Okay. Maybe he would be.
I think he's in his 30s. So
yeah.
I mean, maybe Narcissa and Lucius also had Draco when they were as young as James and Lily, but
yeah,
I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. And I think he's older too. But anyway, yeah. So it would be cool. I think it would be neat. We'll just have to kind of see. Let's see. Let's see what else we have here. Okay. So will J.K. Rowling be involved in the new Harry Potter TV series? And she said that Max's commitment to preserving the integrity of my books is important to me. And I'm looking forward to being a part of the new adaptation, which will allow for a degree of depth and detail only afforded by a long form television series. So she is excited, and I think she's wanting to go in and make sure that the integrity is there, and that the that it's authentic and that it's accurate to what her story is, as well as some of those additional scenes, which you've heard about. So
yeah, which is also, I think, a good thing, because like you said, unfortunately, Tolkien was not able to be involved in the show.
He
probably would not have approved of a lot of things that the new Rings of Power show
is doing
the changes they did.
I don't think he'd be at all happy with it. He probably wouldn't have been happy at all with the Peter Jackson stuff either, too, so who knows. Okay, so there's other things on here too. We'll leave a link down in the description if you guys want to read the whole article, but you know, how much will the series cost? And they're talking about They said House of Dragon cost nearly $200 million and was one of HBO's biggest marketing campaigns ever. So valued at over $100 million in media spend. So fans can expect a similar outlay for the Potter series or higher. That is crazy. That means they're going to go for it. So again, you think of the production value and the cost and everything associated with it. It's like, if they're talking, referencing House of the Dragon, this can be huge.
I mean, look at how high quality all the dragon scenes are. That's always what blows me away. Like how they make the dragons look so real and all the scenes on them.
Bring that to Harry Potter right now.
Let's
have some crazy dragon stuff going on.
Did really cool stuff in the Fantastic Beasts series, right? With all the beasts and and integrating them in the real world or into the living world, and the actors who had to interact with, you know, nothing basically.
Well, yeah, they've gotten better at that. I think that's going to be, we're going to see that. We're going to see also better visual effects and stuff for magic and things. So,
which is cool for a younger audience, right? Because I do have one half of my class was like yay and the other was nay when it was about, are we going to watch parts of Harry Potter in German? And some of them were big fans. Most of the time their parents introduced them and then they loved the story so much and they didn't care that the movies were a little older you know, for their eyes. Some of them were like, oh no. And then I'm always asking, like, did you read it? And they're like, no, I'm not going to read it. So because I didn't like how the movies looked, or I don't know.
To the kids now, it looks old. Same with the Star Wars originals. People don't. I mean, I loved it because I watched it on VHS when I was a kid, and I enjoyed and got into it. But I understand why kids wouldn't be into that. It's
right.
Old,
I think you need of a certain age yourself to appreciate older things.
Yeah,
I remember when my brother was—he's a little bit older than I am—and he started getting into older music and older movies. And I was like, no.
It's a thing. It's a
phase. Now I'm like, I appreciate older movies sometimes for what they did back in the day. And
we were watching Karate Kid
the other day. And we were talking about how they filmed things back then. And it was there's some aspects that I really like. And of course you know to expect they don't have the same effects. But that's part of the experience, right?
Longer takes and more dialogue and more just like, I mean, it feels like things that would have been super cut up now or like just they left it in back in the 80s and stuff. So it's cool. One thing, another interesting question, then we'll kind of move off of this and we'll maybe talk real quickly about the other other topic today. So will there be any Harry Potter related projects, which we've been talking about on and off here throughout this podcast? But Zaslav said, we're free to do anything we want. Some areas we need to do with JK. Other areas we have the full ability to go forward. This is a full development of... This is a full development on Max of Harry Potter. We can still develop other properties. Don't know what he's talking about. So it's unclear where those boundaries lie, but it's clear that Warner Brothers Discovery would like more Potter since he took control of the merged companies. Zaslav has stressed multiple times his focus on franchises with mining the Harry Potter IP identified as a top priority. So he'll probably work some of that stuff out with J.K. Rowling as to what they can do, you know, with her and what they can do without her and just make on their own. She might say, hey, you can just independently go and do something there with that. Or maybe you need to involve me in that and make sure that I tell some cool backstory for all of that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that was interesting. All right. And that is basically the gist of that. So we'll move over here and we'll pull up some other stuff. I think now we're moving on to Oh, gosh. If you guys have thoughts, by the way, too, on the series or things, news outlet, well, I'm not the best at checking up on the news and whatnot, but I love to hear updates about the series because we want to have our book reread done and be doing theories and posting more videos on our YouTube page and stuff by the time that this comes out.
Or at least close to being done.
Yep. Close to. And also doing some live streams when it comes out. We hope to be hosting some of those.
I know. That's going to be so exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Let me see here. So you said this one. I'm going to go ahead and share this tab. So here we go.
Yes. Yeah.
Switched over.
Right now I have the WizardingWorld.com tab open.
Gotcha.
And we were talking about Fantastic Beasts earlier. This is one of the movies that were very sad, or movie series that we were very sad to see that they're discontinued.
Very sad.
But there is more hope because apparently... And a lot of you might already know this. This might not be news to you.
It's news to us, though.
This did not come out yesterday, okay? But we just learned about this because we were thinking about booking a trip to Universal. And then I discovered, well, how about we wait for next year? Because then we can stay a little longer, but visit another park.
Right.
And this is going to be called the... So right now in Orlando, Florida, there's two major parks. One is Disney... That is also where Star Wars is a part of
Galaxy's
it, right?
Galaxy's Edge. We're looking at that. Yep.
So that's Disney World, and then there is Universal Park, right? Or Universal Studios, where there's Harry Potter and the Harry Potter scenes and sets and all that stuff.
Yep.
And there's going to be a third Universal Epic Universe opening in 2025. They have not given us a month yet, so not sure when that's going to happen. So maybe we have to hold off even until 26.
Right.
Which our bank account is going to appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Too, but we'll see. So they will open that for, I think, 5 or 6 different parts. One of them, for example, being Super Nintendo World, which is I'm also super excited about to see that. And then some other stuff like, Celestia Park is part of Harry Potter. We'll talk about that in a second. How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk. So that's, interesting.
It's cool.
And Dark Universe. I think that's just in general a little more spookier, darker. I don't think
it's
connected to a certain fandom.
Sounds dark side. And I don't know, friends. I'd be afraid to go there. So,
but one of the coolest parts is they're going to include the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Ministry of Magic. And this includes two things. One, I think how I understood Celestial Park. Yeah. So one is Celestial Park, which is supposed to be the Fantastic Beast Parisian part back in the 1920s.
Okay.
Right. When Fantastic Beast took place. And they basically, just like they build a Diagon Alley or a Hogsmeade, they build that Celestial Park road in Paris. It has a different name. It's French. I can't say it. I'm very sorry. Think of that road when Newt basically went into a world between worlds, it felt like. And there's all this different stuff going on. It's the wizarding part of Paris. And this is going to be that world that you can enter. You just go through a gate. It's they modeled it off the part of Paris where they shot it, and it has many different attractions in there. For example, they will have
This is interesting. They said you can even listen to conversations from French witches and wizards as you walk through the streets.
Yes, it's like very immersive, just like the Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade experience.
Yeah.
And you have different coffee shops. Like one is themed very much like, not themed for a different for a certain scene, but it's supposed to have a lot of elements from herbology and stuff in there. And you have also the Cirque Arcanus in there, where we essentially saw Credence and Nagini, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be a whole show. You can walk in. It's one attraction, and that's going to be in that part of the park. It's going to be a whole separate show that you can watch. And then also, when the show is not going on, you'll also be able to see, creatures like demiguises, deer calls, moon calves, You encounter characters such as the ringmaster Skender and his assistant, who's a squib, Gwenlyn.
Wow.
Who's a brand new character exclusive to the park.
That's cool.
And who knows, perhaps certain magizoologists may also make an appearance.
Wow. That's really cool.
Right? Then they have the bar, Moonshine, American-style bar designed to be a home away from home for visiting U.S. witches and wizards. Of course.
It's just Bar Moonshine. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the name of it. It's an American-style bar designed to be a home far away from home for us visiting U.S.
Is that supposed to be the speakeasy they're in or just...
No, that's supposed to... So we're still in... this is like, again, the French sort of like, as you
said, right? Yeah.
Part of it. But you know when you go to, let's say I'm in Germany, I'm in Berlin, Germany, and I want like an American bar.
Yeah.
Like, and so Berlin will have an American, like here in America, we have an Italian themed bar or a Scottish bar or a German bar. Like, you know, we have a special place. Like, it's funny because the German bar is like, they wear the, what are they called? The
Dunder and Lederhosen.
Yeah. They wear all that stuff and they dance on the tables. And it's probably nothing like, you know, it's meant to be Southern Germany. But this looks like, so Bar Moonshine is probably going to be an American style bar designed to be a home away from home for us visiting U.S. witches and wizards. So kind of a funny thing to, I think, you know, put in there, but that's cool.
There's also a dinner place, Le Gobelet Noir, which sounds like the Black Goblet.
Yeah.
Deep in the wells of place. Oh, yeah, that's the name of the cachet. I'm probably saying it completely wrong, and now I know how people feel that want to read German and they just don't know how to put those letters together.
Good. I'm glad you know how that feels.
And this is supposed to be a mysterious tavern known to attract dark witches and wizards.
Yeah.
The pub is inspired by medieval buildings boasting ancient beams and aged relics, so much like what we probably have in in Hogsmeade with the Eberkopf is the hogshead Hogwarts. Okay, so those are some attractions. There's also going to be a sweet shop, which is not Honey Dukes but like a French sweet shop, and they're going to have their own wand maker or shop for wands, and the word for wand in French is baguette magique.
It's cool,
which is great. So they don't think that's a place where you can buy food, but that's where you buy
your wand. How many Fleur Delacours are gonna be, you know, dancing around there at this part?
That'd be fun.
Tons of Beaubaton. Yeah, that'd be cool.
And the other big part or attraction is going to be the British Ministry of Magic. And you can go there. So from your adventure in the 1920s France part, you can head towards the Paris Metro Flu Station. So basically you have all these fireplaces. And then you go through, and I saw a video earlier. It looks like you're actually going through fire.
Okay.
Somehow, or something that looks like fire. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah.
But looked really cool. And then you'll arrive in 1990s London, so the time of Harry Potter, in the Ministry of Magic, which is awesome, right? That's how they arrive. We see in the movies Harry, Hermione, Ron, they go through, even though they go through the toilets, they land basically in the flu network, which is kind of odd.
Right.
Then you will have the opportunity to go on a ride, which is Harry Potter in the Battle at the Ministry. And it's an all-new, fully immersive dark ride. Previous visitors of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter land at Universal will be all too familiar with its thrilling attractions. From Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey and Hagrid's Magical Creature Motorbike Adventure in Hogsmeade, to Harry Potter and that's the Gringotts, the other rides. They just mentioned the other rides. And now they have this new one, which is set in the period after Battle of Hogwarts in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. So Voldemort is already gone.
Yep.
And earlier I read that it's supposed to be about Umbridge.
Yep.
And Umbridge standing trial for all her crimes. And then Umbridge escaping.
Yeah, I love this. This is, yes, you'll get to witness the cruel, pink-loving, one-time headmistress of Hogwarts be put on trial for her crimes during Lord Voldemort's ascent to power. Mm-hmm. Board a lift to the courtroom where you'll spot many familiar characters at the hearing, like Harry, Ron, Hermione. We're ever going to miss this, right? And then meet new ones such as Umbridge's former house elf.
Higgledy. Wow. Sounds like Piggledy. Everyone who's Jesus German Jesus. Knows who I'm talking about right now.
That's funny.
Piggledy.
Yeah. And so there's some images here. I have them on the screen right now. But as you might imagine, let's see. Equilibrium is not in place for very long, with Umbridge escaping the ministry thanks to fellow Death Eater survivors. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yaxley, Caro, and McNair and planning a terrifying plot involving time turners. To reinstate Voldemort's reign, which that feels like kind of a repeat, you know, from the Cursed Child thing, but whatever. So it's up to you, right? And the Golden Trio and Higgledy to recapture Umbridge and sort out all of the sorry business. So
honestly, for me, it's probably going to be less about the story anyway, so more about the visual effects and the fact that they kind of build parts of the ministry that you're going to go through on the ride. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Really cool. Really cool. So I think it's fun. I think so. We decided again, we were going to go maybe in like October or November. We were looking at different dates, and then Lottie found this and she was like, yeah, we should probably hold off. I think there's something new coming. And I was like, what? So again, our friends at Swish and Flick, they probably well aware Megan and Katie are big time travelers down there all the time. But I just feel like there's, you know, they definitely are.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they're always on top of their like news around Harry Potter.
Right.
We're sometimes kind of slow, so.
Yeah, it's a cozy cottage right here. Like the mail doesn't get delivered as often as
some owls get lost on their way.
Yeah, we're okay with that. Like no big deal. We'll get back to you when we get back to you. That's funny. Anyway, all right. So, hey, just some friendly updates, I guess, from the cottage. Some updates in terms of the TV show, and then some cool things going on there at Universal. Haven't done really news or updates in a while. Not normally our thing, as we just said.
Right.
But I thought we would do it as a way to ease back in, get our bearings before we go into episode 100.
Yes. We wanted to be 99, kind of casual, and then next episode
we're gonna go crazy.
100.
Yeah. How hardcore do you want to go next episode? Like, are we dressing up? I mean, we're going to make a happy. We're going to make like some treats. What are we going to do? You know?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I mean, that sounds really good.
That'd be fun, right?
Some fall style treats. Harry Potter treats. Pumpkin pasties.
Yeah. And that is chapter.
Two pumpkin pasties, please.
To get us back on track. Is that chapter 17 coming up? Or.
Chapter 18,
my bad.
The Weighing of the Wands.
Thank you very much. The Weighing of the Wands. So that will be coming up next.
I think. Oh, I just opened the Yule Ball. Not there yet, but that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, chapter 18.
All right. Well, we will save for Patreon maybe a discussion about the start of the school year, and we'll talk about teachers and what it's like. So maybe we'll share some fun behind the scenes stories about being teachers ourselves, and also just maybe what our professors are going through. I love to think through that lens of what they're talking about in the teacher's lounge and how they're getting ready for the year. So we'll do that over on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who does support us over there. We appreciate
you
guys.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you to where? We appreciate you to Luna
and back.
So all right, friends, hey, that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you're going to join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. If you don't miss out on the next episode, if you don't want to, I say it so fast that it starts to roll together. This is because it's an important part, I gotta slow it down. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us that review over on Spotify or over on Apple. And be sure to follow us on social media Instagram specifically at Fleur and Bill.
Yes. And I got to make it quick because I got to go to the bathroom so much. So on our next reread episode, like we said, we'll discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, chapter 18, The Weighing of the Wands. Make sure you tune back in next time. Until then, have a wonderful, awesome, great rest of your week. Thank you so much for joining us in our shell cottage today. We're so glad we're back. We know it's not much, but it's home. Knox.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.